To him who loved us and purchased us by his blood to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God and Father, to him be honor, glory, power, and dominion now and forever. Amen. Our text today is found recorded in the book of the prophet Amos, and we read in chapter 8 selected verses. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east they shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. Here ends our text. In Jesus' name, our beloved heavenly Redeemer, dear Christian friends, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You may recognize those words from chapter 12 of Paul's inspired letter to the Romans. You may also be aware that in the chapters preceding that verse, Paul had laid out for his Roman readers the sweet message of Christ crucified for sinful mankind, and he wrote about how God had chosen Abraham to be the one for whom the promised Savior would arise by his sheer grace. Jacob also, he chose the younger twin, grandson of Abraham, to be the Savior's ancestor, not his older brother twin Esau, by grace. And then he wrote about in chapter 8, that beautiful chapter, how the Lord God foreknew us, predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ, called us to faith by the gospel, justified and glorified us, all by his amazing grace, that is, his undeserved love. And then chapter 12, that verse I just quoted, Paul provided godly counsel to the Roman believers to let their gratitude to their Lord shine forth in their lives. In fact, to make their entire life into a worship service in praise to the God who had shown them such love, and to carry their faith with them all through the duration of their earthly sojourn. And that's the word of encouragement that gives to each one of us this morning in our Amos text, that we carry our Christian faith in Christ with us, in our attitude toward the needy, in our formal worship of the Lord here at church, as we fulfill our calling out in the world, in the marketplace, and as we look ahead to, with joy, facing our holy Lord. So Amos, who was this Amos, the man who penned our text? We remember how he was a shepherd man. He lived in Tekoa, little village located 10 miles south of Jerusalem, 5 south of Bethlehem. And one day the Lord came to Amos and instructed him to go and be a prophet for the Lord, to the citizens living up in the northern kingdom of Israel. Remember, after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into two parts, northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. And so the Lord instructed Amos to go up into the northern kingdom to proclaim the word of God to the people who are living there. On that northern kingdom, a little bit of information, the man reigning at the time was King Jeroboam II. One of his predecessors, King Jeroboam I, many years earlier had instituted calf worship in Israel, setting up fancy shrines, one in the north city of Dan of his kingdom, the other near Bethel, or at Bethel. And he built these shrines so that the citizens of his realm would do their worshiping there and not in Jerusalem. And the people's idolatrous worship of these idol god calves continued all the way on down into the reign of Jeroboam II, over 100 years later. And it was reflected, no surprise, in their godless attitudes and wicked lifestyles. What we read in our text in Amos chapter 8 gives us an idea of the depths of decadence into which Israelite society had fallen at that time. Their lack of love for their Lord and disregard for His will was shown by the shabby way that they treated the less fortunate in their land, the poor. Instead of doing what they could to help them, they oppressed them, they took advantage of them. Their attitude was basically, who cares about them? Let's do what we can do to get ahead. We see that attitude, don't we, reflected in our modern society, what our Savior foretold would characterize the world in the latter days, and the love of many would grow cold. Citizens, instead of showing concern for the well-being of others, would be totally self-absorbed and concerned about looking after number one. See that in the news all the time, don't we? Examples of that. And the Lord's counsel to us here, we whom He has blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, not to mention countless gifts of love for our earthly lives, is that we carry our faith in the Lord with us in our daily walk of faith, keeping our eyes open for opportunities to be helpful to other people, projecting our faith in that way, especially the less fortunate. A couple practical suggestions. Asking the Lord for wisdom to know how to help folks who are homeless, who are less fortunate. Maybe opportunities to share a little bit of food or some clothing. Perhaps share a little Bible verse written on a piece of paper with an invitation to come hear God's word at our church. Might be an example of that. Or might give a shout out to the kinship program of our church that lends help to orphans and SEM students in our overseas missions, considering perhaps becoming a sponsor for a child or student, as our ladies group is doing for that young man, Asukwo Usuyak, currently enrolled at the Martin Luther Bible Institute in Nigeria. And knowing, as we read in the book of James, that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And there's also a proverb of Solomon in chapter 14 that reads as follows, that whoever's kind to the needy is honoring the Lord. It's an expression of our worship of the Lord. But turning back to our text, we see from verse 5, another message God called His shepherd prophet Amos to proclaim in the land of Israel was a message of repentance for the thoughtless way and careless way in which they were engaging in their formal worship. Not only did they worship those gold calves at those two idol shrines in Dan and Bethel, there were also worship spaces near where they lived, but in their observance of the weekly Sabbath and other festival days like the new moon Sabbath, whenever those days arrived on their calendar, they couldn't wait for them to be over. So they get back to more important things of life like making money. Far from their hearts was the sentiment of the psalmist who wrote, it's your sentiment, isn't it? I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And better is one day in your courts, O Lord, than 1,000 somewhere else. But yeah, the people of Israel, they were observing formal worship, but their hearts weren't in it. So the Lord's counsel to you and me, his saints in Christ today, as we gather here for formal worship at his house, is that we always seek to come with hearts attuned to his good shepherd voice, with eagerness to feast on the abundance of his house and drink from his river of delights, from the well of his holy word. The attitude of the hymn writer, which is based on another psalm, to your temple I draw near. Lord, I love to worship here. Here are sacrament and word. Here believers meet their Lord. While your glorious praise is sung, touch my lips, unloose my tongue, that my joyful soul may bless Christ the Lord, my righteousness. And while your ministers proclaim peace and pardon in your name, through their voice by faith, may I hear you speaking from the sky. And then from your house when I return, may my heart within me burn, and at evening let me say, I've walked with God today. Beautiful Spirit-worked attitude in the hearts of his people in regard to formal worship. And remembering, too, that by our church attendance, when we can get here, there are sometimes things that prevent that, illness, work, and so forth, unavoidable. You're giving a real powerful witness of your Christian faith to your children, to family members, to your fellow saints of St. Paul, to people who may observe you getting in the car on Sunday morning and heading off to church, and they know where you're headed. Pretty powerful witness. You know, these people love the Lord. Speaking of giving a powerful witness, I don't know if you heard the story of the elderly Christian man who was visually impaired and had difficulty hearing even with his aids. He attended church pretty much every week, brought by friends, but because of his disabilities, he missed a lot of what was going on. Somebody asked him one day, why do you go to church since you can't catch most of what's being said? His answer was, well, I want other people to know that I love Jesus and that I believe in him, and I want to praise him for the undeserved love that he's shown to me. Powerful witness. And when we head out into the doors of the church, into the marketplace, then also we want to take our faith along. In the days of Amos, another sad condition that prevailed spiritually in the land of Israel is not only that the people couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over so they could get back to their jobs and make more money, but they also were practicing dishonesty and graft in their business dealings. We read about that in verse 5, the last half of the verse. They made the ephah small and the shekel large and falsified the scales by deceit, and they sold bad wheat. The ephah was a bushel measure they used for selling grain. They made that deliberately small, and the shekel, which was a weight they used to weigh out the money of the buyer, they made that heavy to scam their customers. We see that also, don't we, in modern-day internet phishing scammers try to trick people into sharing their personal information to defraud them, and other schemes that people try to use to steal from others. Through Amos, the Lord admonished the people to repent of those sins and to look to the Lord for the forgiveness that he was freely offering them in the coming Savior. Another way we're privileged to reflect our faith and love for the Lord as his redeemed children today is by seeking to be honest in all of our dealings with others. Whatever work we're engaged in the marketplace, to do our best that we can. The work that you carry on at church, tasks that you council members carry on for the Lord, remembering the solemn vows that we made to the Lord on our installation day, the to be faithful in exercising our work. And then also out in the workplace through the week, plumbing job, woodworking, teaching, homemaking, janitoring, volunteering, whatever the line of work may be, to remember that, again, we're serving the Lord Jesus, whom we dearly love, who loved us first. Again, what a powerful witness, friends, to our Christian faith. Spirit worked, and it's also what gives such meaning, joy, and incalculable worth to even the smallest task, because we're doing it for the Lord. Finally, also, we want to carry our Christian faith with us into church, back out into the world, looking ahead with great joy to finally facing our holy Lord. Sadly, the people of Israel in the days of Amos, to whom he preached God's word, they did not take his words to heart, but continued in their rebellious ways and thinking they didn't really need a savior from sin, and continued in their godless lifestyles, unrepented. And so, sadly, the Lord's judgment befell them. Read about that in verse 10. The Lord said, I'm going to turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I'm going to bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. The Lord was here describing the terrible, bitter sorrows that they would endure when the Assyrians, the Lord would all permit them to swoop down from the north and pillage their land and carry them away as slaves, never to return. Unlike the southern kingdom, when they were deported by the Babylonians later, the Lord in grace allowed them to return, from which the Savior was eventually born. But the worst part of God's judgment was that famine that he said he would cause, not of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. On account of their faithlessness and idolatry, refusing to repent, he'd withdraw his word from them, and there would be no prophets ever like Amos to preach God's word, to share with them the message of the law, to show them their sin, and the gospel to show them their Savior. Sad. But our fervent prayer is for God's people today, again, God's saints. Lord, continue to provide your word to us for our soul's sustenance. We know he will do that. Give us more pastors, more teachers, supply them to us for our heart's comfort and for our faith's bolstering. And we can be confident that he will do just that for his mercy's sake in Christ. Though in our lives we still fall short of his glory, we do not carry our faith with us into life as much as we perhaps should, and maybe sometimes even hide our faith under a bushel in weakness. What a joy to know that because of Jesus, in whom we trust, to whom we turn for forgiveness, we know that he will continue to forgive us and will continue to enable us to carry our faith with us and to look ahead, not with fear, with great joy, to the day when we're going to face our holy Lord, rejoicing, dressed in the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to us by grace. Close then with the same word of the Lord with which we began. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. For Jesus' sake, amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew Salvation and uphold.